that the Lord would work in their heart by his word. And then also at the same time, I was thinking about this on Sunday here, we'll have a number of different people who are going to be preaching and leading Bible studies. And it's a blessing to see people just grow into those spots and be willing to take that step of obedience. You know, I think about between the ladies' graft group and our men's breakfast and Bible studies and all of it, there is a tremendous amount of opportunity for growth for anybody that wants to grow, that wants to dig in and put the work. And the Lord blesses that, and the Lord honors that. And so I just want you to pray. So pray for, pray for the preaching on Sunday here. Pray for the Bible studies that are going to be led. And just pray. It's my desire that people in our church be able to handle the word of God in such a way as to, I'm not really needed. So I want you to be able to open your Bible on your own and know what the Lord is saying and what the Lord commands and what the Lord expects. And that's really wicked important that you know how to do that. So I was going to go over with you tonight. I was going to preach the first message. I was going to preach to these teenagers, and I was going to secretly have Amanda analyze it so she could tell me, don't say this, don't say that. Whatever you do, don't use that illustration, because teens are not a strength for me. And I'm really actually pretty nervous about going down there to preach to a bunch of teenagers. It's actually not something I'm confident in. But, the Lord expanded our prayer time a little bit. And at the same time, just brought to mind a couple things. I was thinking about this, as Trish mentioned handing out a track, and Jason mentioned handing out a couple tracks. And, Micah chapter 6 and verse number 6 is where I'll start tonight. The Lord keeps things pretty simple. When we are in Texas, and you can make fun of me for not hearing correctly on the roof. That's fine. But even when we were in Texas, we wanted to tune into the live stream because it's our church family. And this is the body that the Lord's made us a part of. And so, even when you're on vacation, it's not like God is somehow removed from the picture and you just kind of cruise without him. And when you're part of a body, you have a responsibility to that body. You don't just like, oh yeah, I'm forgetting all the people that are part of the church body. No, that's not really how our hearts work. And so there was a lady that came up to buy some fireworks, and she was wearing a shirt, and the shirt said, it had three things on it. The shirt said, do justly, love mercy, walk humbly. And if any of you know even a little bit of Bible and been to Hobby Lobby, you know that that's a scripture verse. Those three words, do justly, love mercy, walk humbly, that is scripture. And so we were both standing there, and when you're talking to people that you don't know, the best piece of advice that you need to take a hold of is just talk about them. And when you think, man, going to a hospital, that's scary to talk to somebody in a hospital. No, just talk about them. Ask them about their life. Ask them about, what they think, what they like. Just talk about them. People have no trouble talking about themselves. Just get them started. And so to this lady, we said, man, we really like your shirt. That's a great Bible verse. And she looked at it. She's like, oh, I didn't know it was a Bible verse. I'm not really a church person. And I took a lot away from that because we think that in the South, you know, in the Bible Belt, if you will, that, you know, everybody, you know, they know the Lord. No, in that lady's life, here's a woman that is wearing scripture and doesn't even know who the Lord is. And there were a number of people that, yeah, we were there to sell them fireworks, but they got tracts too. Because I didn't stop being a Christian because I was selling fireworks. I didn't stop being a saved person. I didn't stop seeing them as a lost person in need of Christ because I was not filling the office of the pastor. The Lord keeps things pretty simple for us. I'm thankful for that. Here's what I want to encourage you with. All right, so verse 6. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? In other words, what does God expect of me? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? In other words, these questions are being asked. What is the Lord want from me? You know, if you just think a little bit about some of the false gods that Israel got wrapped up in, and even this verse here, there were some people that gave their firstborn willingly to a god. That child was killed in their pagan idolatry, their blood shed and poured out on the hands of that stone idol because they thought that's what our God wants us to do. You read about Molech. That was a false god that people worship, where they killed their babies. No problem killing their babies because they thought that's what their God wanted. Well, you know, God doesn't ask you to kill your children. He doesn't ask you to do harm to yourself. He doesn't expect you to do anything that's difficult. In fact, the Bible in Romans 12 speaks of our service to him as our reasonable service. And in Micah 6, verse 8, he gives us some things that are real simple. Three things. Verse 8 says, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? And there's three things in Micah 6, verse 8, that the Lord requires of his people, of his children. The first is this: to do justly. To do justly. So if someone is just or declared just, they're declared righteous. All right, to do justly means to do right. To do right. We want our kids to do right, don't we? Like, we want our children, no matter the circumstance, no matter the situation, no matter the obstacles, we want them to do what's right. And that's what God wants us to do. And God lays out for us what is right. He lays those things out for us in his word. And God's priorities, God's commands, what God expects of you is never going to conflict with any other command. When our priorities or our plans or our intentions conflict with God's, that's how we know they're not right. But the Lord just asks us to do justly. I was thinking about, there was this couple that we sold some fireworks to, and when they pulled in, the way things were laid out, we were near a highway and had an intersection with train tracks across from us and a kind of a warehouse to the left. And we're on a main road. And so people could come in, they could pull in and they could park, you know, pretty much right next to the stand. And this particular case was different in that these people pulled in and parked about from me to Trish away from the stand. So So they could have pulled out as close as, you know, as Amanda or Cherie. They could have parked that close, but they parked way over there, which was odd. And when it, I don't know, it was earlier in the week. So any customer is a good customer at that point because things are moving slow. So they park and just kind of sitting there for a little bit. And you're trying to not be too eager, but you're trying to make sure that you're there. And I look over out of the corner of my eye and I see there's a man who's climbing out of the passenger seat. And he's climbing out of the passenger seat onto the ground. And he crawls to the from the passenger side ground to the back seat. They had like a Chevy SUV, a small one, opens the back door, reaches up in and pulls out a wheelchair. And then he pulls himself and climbs up into the wheelchair and then wheels himself over to look at some of the fireworks. Now, what's your first thought? Why do you park so far away? Why do you park so far away? So he comes up to the window and real friendly. And he says, my wife and I are found out that we're going to have our second child. And so we were wondering if you had any gender reveal fireworks. Now I had a set. I'm like, my only goal was to sell those things because that'd be the hardest things to sell, right? And so like, yeah, absolutely. We have those. And he's like, well, I need to go talk to my wife about it. And so he wheeled himself back over to the vehicle. And I could see that he was talking to his wife. And I didn't want him to have to come all the way back over. And so I actually left the stand and took the fireworks over there. I felt like he was going to want them. And as I got closer to the vehicle, I realized why his wife opted to park so far away. And that's because she also was handicapped the same way that he was. Both of them had no use of their legs at all. So the husband was, his legs, you know, were just crippled. Her legs were crippled as well. And I immediately realized she just didn't want to be seen. She didn't want to be seen. And they had in the back, I said to him, I said, you know, what a blessing that, you know, you're having another child. And in the back was their first child, maybe 18 months old. That child was in a car seat in the back. I immediately start thinking, man, what's it like for them when that child cried in the night? What's it like for them to meet all of the needs of that child in their condition? And so you immediately have empathy for them, but you also know that people who are in those situations, they don't want to be pitied. They just want their life to be as normal as possible, right? And so just made a big deal of their child and was just being super friendly. And then he was paying right there and then. And I looked at his debit card. A lot of people pay with debit card. And his name was Jesus, spelled J-E-S-U-S. And I knew, I'm like, I got to give this guy a track. But that's going to require me to walk all the way back to the fireworks stand and then walk all the way back to their car. So they settled up, walked to the fireworks stand. I realized I probably have time because he is going to have to wheel around to the other side, climb out of that seat. He's going to have to fold that thing up and lift that thing up into. So I grabbed a track, came over and said, hey, I saw your name's Jesus. I said, it's a lot like Jesus. Can I give you this tract? And he didn't yell at me either or insult me or call me names. He said, yeah, of course you can have that tract, or I'll take that tract. You know, that's just doing justly. That's just doing right. I don't see any reason why I'll ever cross paths with Jesus ever again, except maybe in heaven, if he knows the Lord as a Savior and his wife and maybe his children. I was thinking about this too, you know, Trish giving out a tract and Jason giving out some tracks, and even Dave getting out some tracks. If you're going to trace that all the way back to its point of origin, as far as my memory can recall, it brings us to our next point, which is to love mercy. To love mercy. There was a point at which someone loved mercy enough in someone else's life that the effects of that are still unfolding today. And I'm speaking specifically of a time in Kenny's life when Kenny, who is still rebellious, who still didn't want to do justly, decided that it would be a good idea, and you can ask him, he decided it would be a good idea on a suspended license to put on a wig and sunglasses and try and drive through town, hoping that no one, specifically Matt, would know who he was. That was his hope. In his mind, I just don't want Matt to know it's me. I want to do what I want to do. Well, of course, in God's wisdom and providence, Matt saw him and pulled him over. But on that day, Matt, if I can use you for an example, I already have, Matt loved mercy enough to not give Kenny a ticket, but actually to help Kenny. Now, he would have been fully justified in giving him a ticket, would have been fully justified in pursuing and prosecuting to the fullest extent of the law. But on that day, guided by the hand of God, he loved mercy. So that point in that man's life, a scruffy, sometimes cantankerous 60-year-old man, who I will tell you some nights called me three sheets to the wind, he would call me. But because enough people loved mercy, Kenny gets saved, and Kenny gets it. And Kenny, for a long time now, has been giving out five tracts a week and bringing people to church because he gets it. And so a few of us who for maybe a long time, our vision has been foggy and we haven't really seen things like we ought to, we get distracted. All of a sudden, there jumps into our life this fuzzy 60-year-old man who boldly says, "Hey, you got a tract? Did you give out a tract this week?" And, you know, we get all, "How dare you ask me a question like that?" Well, stop it. You need those people in your life to help you see things like you ought to. We need them. And all of that happened because in one moment, one person loved mercy. In the Bible, mercy is not just the withholding of punishment. It is also tender mercy, speak of kindness. Kindness. I'm just going to tell you that people in everyday life, they're seeing less of it all the time. So you have great opportunity there to show more of it. The Lord says, "Yeah, I just want you to love mercy." Now, loving mercy, being kind to another person, that's good, but also loving the mercy that God had toward us in saving us. Because some of us didn't have to get to 60 years old, our bodies beat up and broken by alcohol and drugs, suffering. Some of us didn't have to get to that place before we first heard the gospel and were saved. For some of us, we got to hear the gospel a lot younger. Now, either way, God showed mercy in our life, and there ought to be a love for the mercy that God showed us. You know, Moxie may not know it yet, but the Lord is shining his love upon him by leaving him with a Grammy who takes time to talk about heaven. And that's mercy in his life. You know, in a lost spouse's life, another spouse who's just determined, "I'm going to love this person. I'm going to be faithful to this person. I'm going to do right by this person." That love of mercy, 1 Peter 3 says, makes a difference in that lost spouse's life, that lost family member's life. We're to do justly, just do right, keep it simple. When we decide we're going to do wrong, things get very complicated very fast and very difficult very fast. But if we just settle in our hearts, all right, I'm going to do right today, love mercy, and then also walk humbly with thy God. Why would you need to walk humbly with thy God? Well, if you're going to walk with your God, you're going to be humbled real quick. And there's two ways to be humbled. You can humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and let him exalt you in due time. Or you can let the Lord humble you in his ways, and he'll still exalt you in due time. But there is that charge just to walk humbly. You know, there's a lot of funny sayings we use to describe people. Oh, yeah, that guy thinks he's all that in a bag of potato chips, right? Oh, that guy, he's a mucky muck. You know, he's a big deal. Thinks a lot of himself. You know, those things, we can see those in other people, but I hope that people don't see them in us consistently. I know there's moments where we all struggle with humility, because humility is a low place to be. But that's what the Lord asks you to do. And you know, to restate that promise, the Lord says, if you humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, not false humility, but just seeing him for who he is and seeing you honestly for who you are, walking humbly with him, he'll exalt you in due time. You know, Trish, you might have to deal with sickness in order that someone get attracted otherwise wouldn't. You have to walk humbly, letting the Lord exalt you in due time. You know, sometimes we think about when it comes to serving the Lord, we get very narrow in what it means to serve the Lord. Well, you know, serving the Lord, you know, ministry, that's like what you do inside the four walls of church. No, don't limit God that way. We're to be ministers of the gospel every day, in our homes, to our kids, to our family members, to friends, to employees and employers. We're to do these three things every day, no matter whether or not we're inside the four walls of the giant barn or not. What does the Lord expect of us? Well, just do right, do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. You know, it's going to require humbling yourself to go talk to someone in a hospital that you've never really talked to before. And, you know, it's kind of interesting too. There's just things that happen from time to time that are good wake-up calls for us. And, you know, I wonder how many of us maybe had walked by Hank each Sunday and maybe waved and maybe smiled, but never sat down and talked to him. Well, you know, he's hard of hearing. Okay, we'll talk louder. And how many of us know what his last name is? How many know where his family lives? How many know his dog died a few months ago? You know, how many of us know those things about a person who, by his testimony of salvation and baptism, is a part of this body? And yet we forget. We get distracted. Things get busy. And we're no longer doing those things. Well, I'm thankful the Lord keeps it simple. One verse. Just do these things. Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. And the Lord will bless that. The Lord showed you. That's what it says in verse 8. He hath showed thee what is good. And you know, the Bible says, whatsoever, or whosoever, this is in Romans, whosoever knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's what the Bible says. If you know to do good and you don't do that, understand the Bible says, well, that's sin. Thankfully, the Lord is always an arm's length away. We can confess our sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We sure need to walk in the light as he is in the light. 1 John be a good study for you. If any man love not the brethren, how dwelleth the love of Christ in him? It's a good thought. Good soul searching. Yes, dear. Well, I snuck Hank chocolate today. So you can ask the nurses what they think of me tomorrow. But. Okay, so just to clarify, I asked about the chocolate, but yeah. You know, people, and I'm done preaching at this point, but on a very instructive note, a man at Hank's stage in life, he doesn't care what you talk about or he's just thankful that someone shows up and shows him that someone cares about him. And that is how the love of Christ is manifested through the believer. Because in an evolutionary mindset, in a humanistic worldview, Hank offers no value to society. He is only a detriment to and a sucker of resources for society. And that's how they look at him. And let me tell you how you know this is true. When I go up to a window, I'm not speaking of all nurses, but one particular nurse that I called Nurse Ratchet. If I get there at 10:52, I didn't know when visiting hours were. And she says to me, visiting hours aren't till 11. The woman does not see Hank as a valuable human being and is more concerned. Because I watch people, and I stood at that window for a few minutes while she and her friend were chatting it up. They weren't looking at screens, monitoring people's vitals. They were just sitting there chatting it up, and I represented an inconvenience to her. Now, thankfully, there's the Brenda G's of the world, and there's the Joanne's of the world, the nurses who see people and love them and care about them, but they need more than nurses who love them and care about them. They need people who will show up and just listen to them. Yeah, Trish. Mm-hmm. And these are seasons that the Lord brings us to as a church to try our faith, to test it, see what it's made of, see what we're made of. And you find out very quickly what you're made out of. You know, on Sunday, I'm gonna speak honestly. I got a little irritated when I'd commended those that had gone. And then when I tried to line up people to go, to be organized, there was no movement. And I looked at that and I thought, all right, here's someone who's in a ditch and no one's really, really moving on this. And I thought, well, okay, so you guys will be thankful for Amanda because she keeps me from blowing up sometimes, which I'm not really a blow up kind of guy, but I assume the worst because that's a weakness I have. She said, you know, there's probably a number of people that have gone up that wanted to wait to see if others wanted to volunteer first, right? And there was someone that later came to me and said, you know, I really don't like going to hospitals. And I said, too bad, or stop it. You're going to be in one someday. Odds are you're going to be there. And there's going to come a moment when you're sitting there. I want you to remember me. When I say to you, I'm saying to you right now, you're going to want people to visit you. You're going to want people to care about you, to call you, to check on you. And you need to learn to do that now. It's easier to put people in a hospital, in a nursing home. You think they're cared for, all their needs are met, and they just slip from memory. Is that true? Okay, it's true from a professional in the field. Whose responsibility is it to be salt and light? It's us. The most qualified people in the world, the best group of people in the world to show love is us. It's us. So I don't always do it in the best way, but I am pushing you to like provoking unto good works, provoking unto good works. You know, it's easy to make a strawberry rhubarb pie for people that you like and know and love, spend time with. It's harder, but it's better to do it for those that need it, that are lonely, that need Christ's love. And that's what doing justly, love and mercy, walking humbly looks like. It's esteeming others better than yourself. And the world could use a dose of that. And we can't deliver that in San Francisco or in DC or in Orlando, but we can deliver it here. Just got to show up and do it. All right. We get an F for homiletics on that one, but you know my heart, the Lord's heart, more importantly. Lord, I thank you for your goodness to us. I thank you for your word. Help us to do these three things and help us to see people, to see them as souls, to see them as eternally valuable, to see that you shed your blood for them, that Lord, that you've left us here as salt and light. And Lord, help us to be mindful of the examples. Help us to remember, Lord, those people that have gotten saved and have grown and have been faithful and are being used of you, Lord. I just pray that you'd help us to stay focused and keep things simple and use opportunities like this one in front of us to stretch our faith, get us out of our we call it our comfort zone, but Lord, it's really our little selfish circle. Help us to get out of our selfish circle and be busy about your work. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You are